Okay, this is the one.
This is it?
Welcome to my show.
Okay, that's fine. I can't talk today.
What's wrong? I know you're having existential
dread. Yeah.
But is that what it is? I know you don't feel well. I know you feel sad and depressed.
Yeah.
But can you track? Do you know what is causing it?
No.
Don't cry.
I'm sorry.
Why are you crying?
I'm sorry. I don't feel.
What's wrong?
I don't feel right.
Do you think it's because we've been watching all these doomsday YouTube videos,
yeah,
or do you think it's because we watched Duncan Trussell's show last night?
That fucked me up.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking crazy.
But on like in a positive way.
Right.
That fucked me up.
Do you feel reborn or?
I would. I wish we had only watched that and not deep state conspiracy videos for hours.
So that's what did it. Do you think you were at an emotional breaking point because of how powerful a Duncan Trussell show is? By the way,
yeah,
Midnight Gospel on Netflix, mind-blowing,
yeah,
especially the last episode. I thought it was good until the last episode, and then you see that, and you're like, oh, this is like...
That every other one is shit.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's
not true,
but you know.
It's so good.
So do you think you were at an emotional, in an emotional state from watching that show?
Yeah.
And then today we decided to watch more, I mean, to call it a conspiracy theory is wrong because it's real, what the government is doing right now during the pandemic.
It was Whitney Webb videos we
Whitney
watched.
Webb, yeah, check her out.
Who's a journalist and researcher and patriot.
And a real bummer.
And a real fucking bummer.
She's a reporter who uncovered these documents from the Freedom of Information Act, and she's reporting on how the government, like this committee, I guess, that exists comprised of Eric Schmidt from Google and fucking Jeff Bezos and all these evil tech guys.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah. The government wants to compete with China because China is moving in the direction of artificial intelligence and really like in a really sketchy way, in like extreme surveillance and being able to go through your phone and read all your private data and make decisions about whether or not you're going to commit a crime based on your like medical records and your state of mental health.
And the way you interact with people online, right?
Like, yeah.
Privately.
Yeah, right.
It's Minority Report shit.
Yeah, it's pre-crime shit. And there's going to be this extreme focus on artificial intelligence and artificial intelligence running everything and essentially people not having jobs anymore, which is like the least of it, not having jobs.
Yeah.
What's really scary is how they can just detain you or punish you for shit you haven't done yet. So the states, the government... doesn't think we're going to be able to compete with China in the future, so they want
what
to take on
financially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be like the power, the financial power.
Okay.
So they want to adopt a lot of these things that China is already doing, but you can't just do it in regular, you know, during the salad days when things are going well.
Okay.
So you got to not manufacture, but you got to take advantage of a crisis. So I guess they were trying to do this with school shootings. They were trying to push a lot of this surveillance state stuff and going through your phone and checking out to see who might possibly commit some kind of crime and then pre-punishing them or detaining them without, you know.
Okay, so a conspiracy theorist, I'm not saying I believe this, but a conspiracy theorist would speculate that the ramped up media coverage of mass shootings was to benefit this sort of surveillance.
Well, it doesn't really matter because what this woman is saying is that these people are taking advantage of whatever is scaring Americans the most at the moment.
I see.
So maybe it's manufactured outrage or manufactured fear, but that shit really is happening.
I mean,
school
it is
shootings.
Happening. Yeah.
But so during the time of school shootings, apparently William Barr was really pushing this stuff as a way to catch people before they commit a crime, before they shoot up a school. And now that the fear focus of Americans have shifted from school shootings to coronavirus, he's going to start using that as an excuse to push this I don't know, this AI revolution.
It's so interesting because, I mean, it's really smart because it's such a hard thing to fight. On a surface level, you're going to go, don't you want to stop school shootings? Don't you think school shootings are bad? And you go, yeah. And then...
then we need to go through all of your social media, teach artificial intelligent robots how to scan and identify your face, have everybody tracked at all times, be able to read all your information. I mean, the after 9/11, you know, all of our, a bunch of our rights were revoked because it was this massive crisis.
Yeah.
And they all stayed in place. It's not like things went back to normal. You know, we still, they still have the right to detain you if they label you a terrorist. You know, the American government can do that.
Whitney Webb said, I forget who it was, but some higher up saying, don't waste, like, what is it? Don't waste a crisis or like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never let a crisis go to waste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can see that with the stimulus package. It's the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what about people getting ill made it necessary for us to prop up the corporations and give them a shit ton more money? There's, it doesn't make sense at all. And it's just an excuse. It's just like when there's a lot going on, you can do stuff in the shadows or right in front of people's faces and make up some kind of half-assed justification that nobody really questions because they want to know, you know, what's going on with their families, when are they going to get back to work, how are they going to survive.
Yeah.
And the thought, a lot of these people that, you know, that are doing these protests and are yelling about, you know, I need to go back to work. It's like they don't even consider the fact that there was money there. You could have gotten money. You could have stayed home and been paid instead of the mega corporations.
Right.
You know, it could have gone to you. But they don't even think to ask that question.
No, they're like fighting for their right to go back to these corporations and have them bleed them dry.
Right, right. It makes it really hard during this time to even consider going back to whatever, wherever you work. Because nobody works at a fucking mom and pop hardware store anymore. You know, everybody works for some mega global company that maybe your branch of it is a small boutique shop, but they're owned by this company, which is owned by this company, which always comes back to these fucking eight people who want to, you know, monitor you because they don't see you as human beings. And now, right now, we have the time, and I hope a lot of Americans have the time to sit down and really kind of unfurl this whole thing, like really think about the systems that are keeping you down and how right now they're getting stronger and more organized.
But may I warn you,
what
if you sit down and think about it too much,
you'll go crazy. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, which is a phrase I'm trying to stop using, whatever, you got your fucking your blood's moving through your veins, you're here, things are fine. You got the people in front of you, the people you care about.
I've been thinking about that in Duncan Trussell's show, if I may. It's not really a spoiler, but there's a moment where they try to be present, and I've always rolled my eyes at that phrase because I didn't know what it means. I just thought it was nonsense,
like
being present. But they do this exercise where you force yourself to be present. If you're having like a really fucked up day, you try to imagine what the inside of your hand feels like, which I had such a hard time. Were you trying to do it while they were doing it?
I was trying to do it last night when we were going to bed too.
Were you able to?
You can do it. It takes a lot. You're trying to just identify the inside parts of your body slowly.
Yeah.
It's just a way to get you out of your own head.
Right.
So you're kind of existing throughout your entire body and then you kind of, you know, watch the show.
Yeah.
We don't need to go through the whole exercise, but you're trying to project outward and just be here now in this second.
And then so you start with your hand and you let it kind of move up your arm.
Yeah.
It's very funny because it's Duncan Trussell, who's like a, how would you describe him? Like a mystical,
like a impish kind of
psychedelic
trickster
elf.
Comedic,
yeah, he's wild. But anyway, it's him and his mom. And so she's having him do that. And then she has him move up his arm, and she says, "What does the inside of your arm feel like?" And he'll play along, but then he'll be like, "Feels like the inside of my arm's being, I'm being chased by wolves." And she'll be like, "No, it doesn't. It doesn't." And he's like, "Okay, it's warm." And she's like, "Yes." It's great. And then, you know, you don't have to think about what?
Whatever.
Evil corporations?
Well, the, you know, Duncan Trussell is this, he's like this kind of philosophical...
He is a philosopher.
He's a philosopher. Yeah. For sure he's a philosopher. But he likes to engage in all these different conversations and interact with people who are trying to, like, go on this existential journey themselves. Yeah. So there's all these themes throughout the show. Because what it is, it's a podcast. It's a bunch of podcasts that are animated by the guy who did Adventure Time. That's what the show is in a nutshell. But so he's having conversations with different smart people. And a theme that keeps popping up is, you know, it's kind of that Buddhist idea of life being pain. Mm-hmm. Like having a physical body is pain. And the goal is to try to rise above, you know, this physical realm.
Yeah.
And if you think of the world, if you think of like this deep state stuff and the pandemic and, you know, whatever your existential crisis you're going through, if you try to see it through that lens, then this is to be expected.
Yeah.
And you should try to meditate and exist now and realize that none of this really matters. And then it's always been this way and it's always going to be this way to exist here. Whatever this plane of existence we're on, whatever this like current meat body you're in is, it's going to suffer.
Right.
You know?
I do.
But you don't have to suffer.
I have to say I have such a hard time with this shit. It sounds so goofy. And because I don't really understand it, I get mad at it, I think.
Right.
I get frustrated.
Well, you know what's frustrating about it, I think.
I'm fascinated by it. It was such a, like, I just kind of want to say that as a preface for anybody who's like really skeptical about stuff like that, because I'm not super into it, and then watching the show was fascinating. It's
well,
so
well, Duncan Trussell's a perfect guy.
Yeah,
because when I was in college, I studied philosophy. That was like my whole fucking thing. It's like you gotta get a degree that matters. You know what I mean, stop going to these goofy classes. I got a minor in philosophy by just
you just
fucking
took
around.
So many.
Yeah, I took so many classes. They were like, well, that's done.
Yeah,
and, you know, obviously it's not going to help you in any way in the real world, but either did my regular degree.
Yeah.
But what kind of turns me off to this stuff now is as I listen to podcasts, and it's a lot of people in LA
who
talk about
like
this
shit. Yeah,
who are
like wealthy anyway.
Yeah, well, what you start to get out of it is like some of it's narcissism, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it's like just thinking about yourself all the time, like, ruminating on your own pain and what irritates you. And like, I'm working on myself.
How can I think about myself on a deeper level?
Right.
How can I go further up my own asshole?
Chris Hedges said that he said the reason he hates liberals is because if a lot of them don't interact with the people that they claim to be standing up for. So
for
like,
sure,
he goes and teaches in prisons and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's saying that like a lot of this philosophy of, I don't know, societal philosophies about how we should be doing things is just a form of narcissism because you're not putting it into practice and
right.
you don't know the people that you're trying to represent. And I immediately thought of so many podcasts where I'm listening to people talk about what they're doing to better themselves and the therapy they're going to and the meditation and stuff. It's like, you don't, you just like fucking talking about yourself.
Oh yeah.
That's why going to therapy, because nobody interrupts you as you talk about your fucking childhood and shit.
Think about this. They go to therapy all day, talk about themselves all day. In between that, they're just, when they're not interacting with anybody, they're just thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
And sure, maybe it's on like a deep spiritual level. And then at night.
Oh, well, I mean, you could trick yourself into thinking it's a deep spiritual level, but then, it's just a more laser focused version of narcissism.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then at night, they pick up a microphone and talk to a crowd of people who are stuck in a room about themselves. Forever.
I'm thinking of specific.
We are thinking of very specific.
I'm thinking
people.
Of specific comedians right now, and just thinking about them, like talking about Ram Dass and shit, and immediately like, oh God, what you're just jerking yourself off spiritually. And that's why Duncan Trussell is this great anomaly, because he's like he's what everybody's striving to be.
Yeah.
He really is open to new philosophies. He really is, he's got this beautiful metaphysical existential take on everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, a river, like it's always flowing and changing, and it's different depending on who he's talking to. And it's great.
He's also something I admire in people, which I think is a quality that's very hard to have or execute, is being interested in other people, like being genuinely fascinated and interested in other people. So few people are. Like we were saying, you can get so far up your own.
Well, I think I like to think of it in terms of coasts. So I think like New York doesn't have any time for this shit at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, shut up. I don't care about what's going on with you right now.
Yeah.
We all got our own fucking problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you my problem. And go to work. And it's very like utilitarian. And there's a good side and a bad side to that. You know, you get shit done. You don't suffer fools, but also you become a hardened piece of shit.
Yeah.
You're not really open to new ideas. You become too tough for your own good.
Yeah.
And on the opposite side is LA, and there's two sides of that coin too, where you're either just an extreme narcissist who's just like spending all day meditating and going to yoga, not really because you want to have fucking spiritual abs.
Yeah.
You want to be like the hottest guru, you know? But the flip side of that is there are people like Duncan Trussell who are just completely open and ready to learn and do kind of achieve this like level of nirvana, or just the fucking twinkle in his eye when you see him. You're just
this
guy's operating on a different level.
Yeah. I like to pick and choose. I really like that New York gritty attitude. I find it closest to my whatever I am. But I like to sort of like dabble. I like to listen to Duncan Trussell and be open to what he has to say. And then be like, I couldn't go fully Duncan Trussell. That's insane to me, I think. I don't know. Like, he's almost like a cartoon or something. Don't you think?
Yeah.
On a certain level, he's just... I don't know. I know this isn't fair. I don't know the guy. But, like, it's so foreign to me how he thinks and operates.
Well,
but
I mean,
he
spends all of his time doing it. He'll go to a retreat somewhere and not in a silent retreat and not speak for a month, you know?
Wild.
Like he's spending all of his time absorbing this shit.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you can't expect to just, it's like watching Dave Chappelle after your first open mic and being like, I don't know if I could do that. It's like, yeah, you fucking can't right now. You got a lifetime of
exploring. Well, I'm saying
exploring.
I'm not interested. I think it's a little bit like, it's fun to watch, but at the end of the day, I don't want to go fully let myself go in a way.
Fully let yourself go? Like explore these ideas of
maybe
of
it's just like scary to me when they talk about ego death and stuff.
Yeah,
don't you think? Like I clench up, like almost physically clench up at
that
and go, I don't want to let go of me. I like me.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that was like that. That's why that was the final episode.
Right.
It was like facing death, facing the void, is horrifying because it's all you've ever known.
Right.
I thought this show was so beautifully done, like the animation and the subject matter. It felt to me like a mild psychedelic experience, taking acid or mushrooms a different opening up a new sensory organ on your fucking head where you're seeing something new that you never even conceived of before.
And that's
a scary thing, you know, and especially when it's death.
Right.
Death was a theme throughout the whole thing, which is just like the ultimate thing to overcome, meaning your fear of it. It's coming no matter what.
How is that possible?
To overcome your fear of death?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He was, like you talk about how open he is. He was just, anytime anybody started talking about that, he's like, oh, yeah, just give up.
Yeah, for sure,
It's like, what? You can't just push back a little bit
so
here, man.
He's so far ahead of us because he's been studying this for years and being so into it that I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just like kind of fun to watch. I have no interest in like fully going full like guru or whatever. Whatever Duncan Trussell is, I think he's fun
you
to
don't
watch.
Have to.
And like, yeah. And just like pick and choose what
but
I want
to
take from him.
You do realize that, and I'm with you, but you're clinging to this, to quote unquote reality, which is just this like thing we got shoved into. Our brains have been kind of molded by our experiences and, you know, the things we our parents and whoever else we've interacted with, and how none of it's fucking real, and how you can transcend it and experience new ideas or a new perspective. And that's scary because it's something new. It's completely different and foreign to you.
Yeah.
Like
death. I don't like... Well, I also don't understand overcoming the fear of death. It's like overcoming hunger or thirst. It's ingrained in us for a reason, you know, or maybe I'm just thinking of fear in general. Fear, like the jolt of adrenaline and fear you get if like you're in front of an oncoming train or something, you need that so that your legs, your brain goes, run faster.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No,
or
am I
confusing that? Am I accusing,
no, you're right.
confusing fear in general with fear of death?
Well, I think fear of, there only is fear of death.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And
that's
you
what
fear
I was...
and you fear death because you're needed right now in the grand whatever fucking infinity to serve your purpose.
Don't you think also a fear of overcoming a fear of death, which is kind of funny. A fear of overcoming a fear of death for me would mean like if I achieve that level of not no longer being afraid of death, I fear I just won't be a motivated person at all.
Oh, yeah. I think that's 100% true. I think about this shit all the time. Like, take Duncan Trussell or what's his name? Who's the British fucking comedian? Russell Brand.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of achieved this weird guru status too. If you listen, I always wanted to hear them have a conversation.
Yeah.
But if you watch Russell Brand's videos, he's all about this stuff, kind of the ego death and just getting yourself right philosophically and dealing with all your bullshit. Sure, these guys have time for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Duncan Trussell just put out a fucking Netflix show. I don't know how you take all that, like nothing matters and everything matters and you just be here in this moment and then also make a living.
Right.
It's like I used to have a joke about it. Like, of course, Buddha achieved enlightenment because he was a fucking prince.
Yeah.
And he got to meditate under a tree for 3 fucking years or whatever it was. He didn't have to do his laundry at any point. He didn't have to go to work.
He didn't have to pay rent. He didn't have to pay student loans.
I think that happens a lot with these people.
That's the New York attitude I think you were talking about too. It's like, it's the grind. It's not, you don't have time to think about yourself on a silly level like this. You think about yourself a lot in terms of like, how am I going to be great? And like, you kind of kick your own ass that way. But, right? And then
in
LA, it's different.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, you almost have, I mean, they always say leave New York before it makes you hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like if you want to try to build the perfect person.
Yeah.
In it just,
well, you should keep going back and forth.
You can move to fucking Colorado and do all this shit. You know, I'm just thinking, we just think in terms of cities because
that's
the kind of assholes we are. But like,
well, in comedy, there's only New York.
Sure,
LA.
Sure.
Yeah.
Comedy is.
Improviser or something.
Right, which is.
Oh, RIP UCB,
yeah,
BTW.
UCB died because, I don't know, they're letting you, I think if you paid like $100, you could just molest somebody or something. That's the final, that's the 2.0 class.
Yeah.
They just, anyway, yeah, you go to New York, you kind of cultivate this work ethic and then you make money, I guess, and then go to LA and figure your shit out.
I didn't realize, okay, so it's don't stay in... Wait, get out of New York before it hardens you? Is that the phrase? Or whatever, something
like
that?
There's
like
a timeline on it, too,
I think.
Then
you'd want to get out of L.A. before you get too soft, right?
Sure.
You got to keep going back and forth.
That might be part of the saying, too.
Well, I guess so. But also, I mean, realizing that there are other cities, you should travel all over the place to become a well-rounded person.
Right.
That's a totally different thing, I think.
Yeah, we have this very specific career path, which doesn't exist anymore. So maybe we should do some meditating and move to...
Dude,
Iowa.
Meditating.
Move to Japan. That's where I'm
at. Yeah. Every couple of days, Ian will just mutter to himself, I miss Japan.
It was
Japan.
So great.
Japan is the best.
I think part of it was that it was so great. And then it was bumped right up against this fucking
nightmare.
It
was the last wonderful thing that we did. It was the last like time we truly enjoyed our lives. So now, yeah, now it's this beacon back in the in the behind days.
Yeah, the before times.
The before times of just the ultimate enjoyment. I don't know. But wow, what were we talking about?
Do you think the reason we had so much fun in Japan is because we couldn't understand the language and everybody hated us, but we were just like, everybody loves us so much!
I mean, no, not at all.
If we like learn the language.
No, I think that's a huge part of it was the fact that we didn't know the language and that it's such an efficient society that that didn't matter. Also, everything was in English and everybody spoke English.
That's true.
So it was easy for us, but it is.
And we also don't know about their deep state shit.
Right.
You know what
you know
I mean?
What?
We don't know
if
what kind of creepy
all,
stuff
if this was
doing.
All, instead of saying China, if all this stuff was Japan, I feel like you and I would be like, well, they've got it figured out. So
yeah,
if we
like it.
If we want to become like Japan, that's fine with me. Take my fucking entire identity and tell me what to do. Daddy Japan.
Well, you can always
daddy?
Justify this stuff, you know? Like even like people the Epstein people who were super into eugenics are all, you know, all those people still are into eugenics. Like they have reasons why they think it would work out, you know.
Right.
Like they think that all the suffering in Africa is because people have too many kids because at one point disease
they
would
think that that's what they think
this is where this is where these like eugenics ideas come from, right?
Okay.
So Africa is where they were very much focusing on Africa as an example because they were saying like if you live in Africa at one point you had like 10 kids because you knew disease was going to pick off the majority of them.
Yeah.
But now there's vaccines and stuff and now people are having the same amount of kids. And so that shouldn't be the case.
Why? Because that then they take resources? Is that what
there's I think if I don't know what they really believe, but they would tell you that it creates suffering because now these people don't have resources and they live in poverty and you know.
It doesn't make sense. Well, I guess I'm thinking
I'm just saying like this is how people justify shit.
Right, no, I know.
This is how you justify artificial intelligence. You say like it's going to be extremely convenient, you know. Just look at our fucking phones.
I was saying when this pandemic hit that if there was complete automation in like factories and warehouses and shit, then we wouldn't have to worry about shutting certain places down and we could get our fucking stupid packages and stuff delivered all the time because it wouldn't be human. Humans, robots can't get the virus. So if robots are doing all that shit for us, then we wouldn't have to worry.
Well, that's how they sell it to you. That's the convenience of all
shit.
Of it. But I mean, ultimately, what you have to remember is these aren't like psychologists who have studied. These aren't fucking Duncan Trussell type people who are studying the well-being of the human race and the psyche and the spirit. These are Silicon Valley autistic dildos.
Yeah, who've never seen value in humans anyway because
they can't
connect with them.
They didn't go to fucking prom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everybody
hated
them.
Yeah.
So they simultaneously want like revenge and all the power.
Right.
And we just let them wield this power because they're part of the billionaire class and that's just a community of people that we have no access to. We don't know what the fuck, we don't know how their brains are wired. We don't know how they grew up. We can't, well, we do, but we can't comprehend that.
Yeah.
You know, what they were taught, what they said to each other, you know?
Oh no.
And then like Trump says that he hates Bezos. Like they have this like public feud going on. Meanwhile, he's part of this fucking committee that's trying to push all this shit on us because the billionaire class only has allegiance to each other. They don't.
Right.
They don't see countries. They don't see, you know, nations or whatever. It's just them and us.
Right.
We're
the
fuel for the fucking machine that
it is on
sucks
like,
them off for eternity.
On a much tamer scale, besides like billionaire overlords. Like ignore that for a second. There is an argument I think to be made ever since the Industrial Revolution that sometimes you do have to sacrifice human labor for efficiency, right? Like even if it takes jobs and we kind of have to adapt. I'm trying to think of
what
an example of a job that existed before.
Oh, like
modern
doing away
technology.
With certain jobs.
Yeah. And it's like, well, this is just so much more efficient, and
we kind of have to adapt.
The
jobs seem like the least of our problems.
I'm thinking of like an Andrew Yang type of philosophy where it's like almost seems benevolent the way he lays it out, where it's like there should be more automation in order to make our lives easier, and then we'll have to adapt, you know, with a UBI or something if it puts people out.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one thing if it stops there. If it's like, okay, the factories that make cars are all just these robot claws, these arms that are assembling parts, but that's not where it's ending. The artificial intelligence part is really sketchy. Anybody who's ever read anything about the singularity or what could happen, there's only like a handful of ways this can go. And the way it's probably going to go ultimately is that the fucking technology decides it doesn't need us anymore. But beyond that, in the short term, just the fact that like we put all our information into our phones and into our computers, and we pretend like that's fine, like it just sits there, you know? And as the military industrial complex evolves and gets bigger and has is unchecked and gets as much money as they fucking want, we're going to eventually live in a police state where you're going to be monitored all the time, and artificial intelligence is just going to make that so easy for them. And also we are collecting the data for them. We're putting our faces on the internet so that they can log that and then scan us, and then they can just disappear you if they want. Because look at this email he said one time. You know, he said, wouldn't it be funny to shoot up this school or kill the president or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, we have the evidence right here. And so it's just like, I don't know. It's so much more dramatic than just, oh, it'd be cool if we didn't have to go to work because a robot took over our job. But robots aren't just like artificial intelligence. It's right there in the fucking name.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to make them think on their own. And that shit's scary.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a difference between, in some cases, there's a difference between robots and artificial intelligence, right? We start following that woman on Twitter who makes the, like, shitty robots. And you can have, like you said, just, like, a mechanical arm that creates a more efficient, like, that's technically a robot, right? But you're not putting...
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. That's not what they're pushing. That's not the direction they're going in. You know, these people that build the robots are the same people that want to put a fucking brain in the robot and eliminate you, as just turn you into some kind. I don't know what the end goal is. I think we've talked about this before. Like, if nobody's making any money anymore, then what is the society we're going to live in? If you can't have a job because all jobs are done by robots, what is the point of you within the system? Where do the billionaires keep getting all their money from?
Right.
You just service the robots. You go in there and oil them up, and what?
Do you think they're just gonna do away with money as we know it? Also,
yeah, for sure. That was in those documents,
right?
They said they're getting rid of cash and they're getting rid of credit cards, and they're gonna try to get everything on your phone.
But even like, I mean, in a real, real dystopian kind of way, where you don't have a bank account with a physical, with a number of like an amount, a number amount of money, some other currency, digital currency, like almost like points or something, you know, like someday in a society where like money.
Well, that's what UBI would be, right?
Just I guess that's all digital money is anyway.
Your stipend. Yeah. Money doesn't exist. Money hasn't existed for a long time.
Yeah,
it used to be tied to actual gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not, you know, you used to be able to cash in your dollar for the amount of gold that it was tied to.
Right.
But that isn't, we stopped doing that. We just started printing the paper money. So money is, that's a whole other fucking thing that you can get in the, you know, the Federal Reserve and shit. And I don't know anything about it.
This is why this podcast, why this episode keeps going back and forth between spirituality and doomsday. It's because I think sometimes in my mind, the two conflict, where it's like, if I sit here staring at my hands, wondering what the inside of my hands feel like because I'm trying to be present and that's the only thing you can control and worry about, it almost feels like some sort of defense mechanism or an escape from how fucked up everything is.
Right. Right. And the like you said, the two are tied together because the idea is that you will be suffering unless you elevate yourself above this, you know, basic meat body state. But when you do that, and this is what brings you back to kind of the New York mentality, which is like, if you spend all this fucking time thinking about, you know, the universe and everything, how everything is everything, and we're just this giant tapestry of fucking shapes and shit, does anything get done?
Exactly.
Do these cocksuckers who are out here trying to, you know, turn us into slaves, do they ever get punished? Or because we're out here in a fucking field levitating?
If somebody like Whitney Webb sat around and tried to be present and meditate and just feel the energy of the fucking earth, we wouldn't have this research that she did. So, I don't know. I guess it's good to have people like Whitney Webb and also people like Duncan Trussell.
Yeah. Fuck, he rules so hard, man. What a, you know what's crazy about him is he's like one of my favorites, and I've never seen him do stand up. I've only seen him do the This Is Not Happening on I thought maybe I'd seen one of his bits, and I think maybe I have, but I don't fully remember.
I only know him from Drunk History.
He's Drunk
History Nikola Tesla episode is fantastic.
Comedy is an interesting thing in that, like, I mean, it propels you, or can propel you, to a level where you don't have to do it anymore, and people kind of fall in love with you as an individual.
My thought, and this is very insulting to Duncan Trussell, I don't know this to be true at all, it's just a hunch, is sometimes personality can supersede comedy.
Sure.
He might just be one of the most interesting people, and that people, like other comedians, really loved. And then, not that he's not interesting on stage. I don't know. We're just saying we don't know any of his bits. He's just kind of his persona.
There's some, but I mean, he came up through the ranks of the comedy store.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that.
That's
true. He wasn't, podcasting didn't exist when he was killing it out in L.A. Then again, it's fucking L.A., so, anything goes over there. He's on the same shows as that other fellow we talked shit about for an hour on the Patreon. That was before we were enlightened.
Yeah, now we're spiritual.
We're spiritual people.
Spiritual. I just have my period, that's all.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm not spiritual.
I had a big bowl of spaghetti, and I thought I was getting my period.
You always say that.
It was. I was.
You eat too much cheese and you get your period.
Right.
It's not fair. You can't appropriate.
It's not fair. I get like fucking three periods for every period you get.
You don't get to assume my struggle. Okay, Mein Kampf, if you will.
Excellent.
Mein period. What have we done?
The next Hitler will be a woman, I think.
Oh, for sure. I hope so. Anyway.
Why should we stop at president, Dictator. That's what you want. The ultimate power.
Dictatora?
Just leapfrog president.
Yeah. Dictatress.
Yeah.
Yeah, break that glass ceiling and get to fucking take my rights.
Right.
Queen. I don't know. I had something else to say. I guess I was just going to comment on what a weird episode this is.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't even recognize myself in this.
It's got to evolve, man. The world is evolving.
Oh, we're not evolving. I think we're just in a mood and we wanted to let you guys in on
it. I'm evolving.
No, don't evolve. Don't become fully spiritual. That'd be so lame.
Oh, whatever, bro. Let's wrap it up.
Okay, we have tacos to make, folks. All right.
I just
we
had
have
spaghetti.
A can of beans. No, I'm starving.
What?
Ian, it's my period.
No, I hate your period. we're going to make tacos. You can check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/suicidepack. A lot of you have been joining, and I like to see that.
Thank you.
Bunch of episodes up there, so if you're all caught up and you want more stuff to listen to. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And thank you very much. Do you have anything to say?
Be here now.
Oh, God.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Goodbye.